Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's the Friday version of our program. We're thrilled that you're listening. What? You look shocked.
It's Friday.
Yeah, today's Friday.
Again, I helped get my little guy out of the bed this morning, and I said, Dill, it's Friday. On Fridays, I used to like get up early and get to school because then you're closer to the weekend.
Right.
But between there and the drive-in, I forgot it was Friday.
It is.
Thank you for reminding me.
On the front page of the Tribune.
Awesome.
Look at your Tribune. It says right on there, Friday. So.
Well, it says F for failing
grades.
Failing grades
for
in
failing
the
grades.
School system.
Yeah,
yes.
There's that part too. But despite the failing grades, you got a weekend in front of you, so enjoy. You know what? I found myself last night during dinner having to defend our show for a little bit with my own family.
What happened?
We had, for people who didn't hear the second half of our show yesterday, we had on a guy whose name is Canhead. It's not his real name. His real name is Jamie, but he calls himself Canhead because he has the ability to put things on his head, just bottles and cans and a cell phone. You just hand him something and it sticks to his head.
Through suction.
It's, his skin somehow.
Too much oxygen, and it's not really understood.
It's too scientific for me. I don't understand how he does
That's
it.
That's where we checked out. We just wanted to see him do fun things.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Right. But you saw it. You saw it with your own eyes. He sat right over there, and he took a big bottle of Fiji water, and he put it on top of his head, and it stayed there. And he put all different kinds of things on it.
Fisher nuts.
Right. Like a big can of Fisher nuts. So I was telling my family about this, and one of my daughters, Kylie, and my wife, Terry, said, well, you and Wendy were had. That's a some sort of a parlor trick. I don't think so.
Get him back. Invite your family.
They're very skeptical people, Wendy. Very skeptical.
You know, and I brought it up. You know, it's weird because I asked the kids. I said, do you know this guy they call Canhead?
Yeah.
And both boys are like, oh, yeah, he was at C2E2 last year.
Was he? Yeah.
It's really cool. They didn't doubt me.
I don't know what happened to my family. My daughter Reese bought it all the way. She's like, yeah, I got
to
do that.
Well, there's nothing to buy.
Well, that's what I was trying to explain is, you know, we've had other guests. We've had spiritualists and mentalists.
You're the king of all skeptics. Can I say that? So if there was any trick going on. In fact, I will tell you something that happened off the air.
All right.
Kristen Decker may have gotten it on video. I'm not sure because I don't think we were rolling during this.
Mm-hmm.
But Canhead had a can stuck to his hand.
Yep.
And it's literally suctioned.
Right.
So when he straightens out his hand, it popped with such force at you.
That video is on. That footage is on WGNRadio.com.
Okay.
She did capture it.
Because he did do it twice, and this time you took the can,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you did this intentionally or what, but you touched the bottom of it.
I wanted to see if it was a trick.
I know.
Yeah, I did.
Because you tried to stick it to your hand, and it didn't work.
I thought maybe, because I noticed at the time, all right, now I see where my daughter gets her skepticism. I thought maybe there's something to this, because as
but
I was watching
this. But you checked him out.
I did.
You vetted him, if you will.
I did vet him. I took him to my vet, and I said, take a look at this guy and see if he's got fleas or ringworm. He said, no, it's clean. Bring him back in 9 months. I wasn't sure if maybe there was something to it. So I did.
That's really cute how you did that, really nonchalant. I mean, he didn't notice that. I did because I know
you.
But that's why I can't believe that Terry and Kylie doubt you because you would get to the bottom of anything that was fake.
I'm not going to name the names of the guests, but we've had a couple of guests up here who have done various mental exercises. And I've said to you, I don't know if you saw this, but they did a little trick on us. Did you see them do that?
You don't believe in it. And there are people who don't believe in it, and that's fine. I kind of believe in it.
There was one particular time, again, we will remain nameless on him, but Bill called out before he did it what he was going to do. And then me sitting behind him, I saw him do exactly that.
Really?
The guy, it was a cleverly hidden crayon, and he quickly wrote something somewhere. Do you remember? Does that ring
a
bell?
Was I here?
Yeah, you were here for this. You were mystified. He did this trick, and I looked at you like, I told you this is what he was going to do. He did exactly what I told you. He hit a crayon, and he wrote something somewhere.
Can I tell you something, though? Don't you like magic tricks, and
love
yet
them.
You know it's a trick?
Right. They're called magic tricks. They're tricks.
So,
your trick.
I mean,
we
as long
do.
As you're not spending all your money on the Powerball or psychics,
right.
Just be wowed. Life is too short.
No, that's true. That is true.
I mean, magic tricks are the same thing, and if it wasn't for Penn and Teller, we wouldn't know how any magic tricks work, because
right.
they reveal all of them.
Right. Well, you almost got a call last night at about 8:15 as we were all enjoying dinner in a restaurant, and I was explaining this to them, and two members of my family are just shaking their heads no, going, humans can't do that. People can't do that.
It's a condition.
That's what I said, and I said, you know, only four people on the planet have this, and they're like, well, then let's talk to them. Bring all four of them. I want to talk to
them. He doesn't know all of them. He said one was in India, and that's all he was aware of.
Right.
Let's get all the can heads together.
We'll have a reunion.
Yeah.
We couldn't get the Beatles together, sadly. This is our last chance.
Better.
This is way better.
I can't believe they don't believe you, though, because you are the one. You don't fall for anything. You are overly pessimistic about everything.
I am about a lot of things.
To me, I can understand them going, boy, Wendy was duped, because I get duped every time I walk out the door.
I think that's what was so hurtful. And I know that...
that they compared you to me.
No.
Yes.
No, here's what was so hurtful. We were having a moment. The four of us were having a conversation. And I love when we do this. It's what families should do at a dinner table. It's how was your day? What did you do today? I think that's the way you should play it if you have a family. So I was realizing as I was telling them this, that because of the job that you and I are lucky enough to have, our dinner conversation about what I do during the day is probably very different from your average person who says, well, I had to audit this, or I had a bunch of units I had to ship. I shipped them to Syracuse, and then I had to move them to Seattle. So I'm telling them that I met a guy who can put a bottle on his head and it sticks. And at that point, they didn't laugh me out of the table. They just let me stay. But then to just see two of the four members of my family just go, Dad, they took you to the cleaners. You went for a ride. A guy doesn't do that. But you saw it and I saw it. He did it.
I didn't see what the allure of Canhead was, I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
Before he was on, Bill was excited for 2 days.
Yep.
You saw the Canhead article. You saw him on TV. You're like, Kevin, book Canhead.
Mm-hmm.
I went outside for something or during our break. I came back. You guys were like giddy little schoolgirls going, we've got Canhead.
That's
Canhead's
right.
On the show.
That's right.
I've never seen you so excited. So I was skeptical at first. I didn't even know what his deal was.
But then you saw the magic that his can had, and he won you over, didn't he?
I'm just jealous he didn't pour me a vodka.
He did with Robin Baumgarten on the WGN Morning News yesterday.
And when I told Dylan that, my 13-year-old son, he goes, the WGN Morning News?
Yep.
I said, yeah. And Dylan goes, Robin drinks vodka in the morning?
Oh.
I said, well, yeah, but I don't think on camera.
It was for the business.
Yeah.
It was for the show. So, we give her the benefit of the doubt.
For one time, he thought I was better than someone else.
That was something.
Because I don't drink in the morning.
No, of course not. All right. That's understood. All right. A quick break. A lot more show. Want to jump in? 312-981-7200. That's our phone line and our text line. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I want to address some takeout things.
Please.
You know what I found on the old internet yesterday?
What'd you find?
You can now get food delivered through Amazon, and if you're Prime members, you don't pay a delivery fee. It's free.
By food, you mean like...
Takeout food. Through Amazon. I don't even know how this works. We should get someone on to explain this, because I don't even really know how Grubhub works. And now they have Uber here.
Grubhub's the greatest thing ever created.
How does that work, Kevin?
So you just register your, you know, any sort of payment card that you want, like a debit or a credit on there, and then... the majority of restaurants I would want, it seems, are on there already. So you can just kind of plug in your thing, what you want to order, and it like recommends things and what's popular and this and that. And then you just hit submit, and then it's at your door within an hour.
Who delivers it? The people from the restaurant or the people from Grubhub?
I think usually it's somebody from the restaurant, if I'm not mistaken. And then you can do it all right there too with like gratuity and everything. It's a magic thing.
There are some restaurants by me anyway. I don't know if this like this everywhere. Where if they don't have enough staff to deliver, like Grubhub is like encompassing several restaurants in our area. It's like an umbrella so that...
Do you use it? You have the app?
You know, I don't, but I'm trying to remember. It was explained to me in a restaurant because I said to them, I want to do this, but I don't understand how it works, and they were explaining it to me. Does that sound right, though, Kevin? Like if you have a smaller restaurant, you don't have enough staff.
They may have some
Grubhub
runners
sends
themselves.
Guys out that'll go to any of 12 restaurants.
But it's
maybe.
Great. I mean,
but now they're doing Uber, so that means if I want like Joe Stone Crab who doesn't deliver,
right.
I could pay an Uber person to bring it to my house. That'd be a lot of money.
Or you could get an Uber driver to take food that you've made and just deliver it to other places around the city.
No one would eat it if they're like you. And do you know, so many people have come up to me. I have run into strangers who said that they would eat my soup anytime.
Well, that's a compliment. What's wrong with that? That's a compliment.
You're my partner.
I know.
You hurt me.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Well, let's find out more about this Uber and Amazon.
I got home that night, Wendy. I got home and Sharon goes, man, Bill would never eat at our house.
I get, for people who didn't hear the segment about a week ago, Wendy was kind enough to bring in some soup that she made. And first of all,
it's not the kind you like, and I get it.
It's a soup that I would never eat under any circumstances.
But you could have just said
anyway.
That. You said you wouldn't eat anything I made because I have a dog. Do you know how many people you pissed off listening?
I didn't mean to. I'm just being honest.
You have a rabbit.
I've never touched the rabbit once. Not even one time.
I eat cookies your daughters made, and they touched the rabbit. And there was a carrot in my in my cookie.
You mean the rabbit cookies they made for Christmas?
Yes.
That taste
and
a little bit like rabbit?
And little things that look like Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, those are Cocoa Puffs. You're fine. Don't worry about that. But again, I'm certainly sorry if you were offended by this. Bring in more soup. But I'm full.
You know
I
what?
Can't
I am
going to
bring in whole Maine lobsters for myself and Kevin and Steve, and we're going to eat it in front of you, and then we'll just
great.
Say, you know what? Oh, sorry, I used a pot that I once heated food in for Tiki.
I've had too many incidents where I've been
I'll
to
pass.
People's houses.
All right, fine. You,
I knew
you
would.
Know what? Screw you both.
You know, bring in Tiki's food. I'll take it, whatever.
Kevin will eat the dog
I wouldn't,
food.
I'm not like that. I wouldn't. I would only bring good things in.
I've just been to too many houses where there are pets running free, and sometimes the conditions aren't very sanitary.
I talked to you about the Thanksgiving feast that I make every year.
I know
you had this hidden vitriol inside that
you
would never.
I don't know what vitriol is.
It's a vitamin.
I don't know. I don't. I'm on
you
the nature.
You scrape it off the bottom of the pan after you've had dog hair in it.
This is good vitriol.
Wait, now isn't Sharon going to bitch at you now, Steve?
My wife isn't capable of such
doesn't
a thing.
Doesn't have it in her.
No.
Doesn't have it
okay,
in her.
Okay, so that means yes. Nice recovery.
No, she's all sunshine and pleasantries.
Right.
Sunshine and lollipops. Mm. We have to find out more about this Uber and this Amazon delivery. We'll do this right. later on in the show because a big thing that's going on of greater importance is this Flint, Michigan stuff. Now someone just resigned over this issue that's going on. Steve, was it someone from the...
Well, the regional director of the EPA is
yes.
in Chicago. Yeah.
I mean, because this is really an embarrassment.
It's unlivable.
And we're not going to get political about it. We're actually going to talk to someone who lives in Flint, Michigan, who has to deal with this on a daily basis. And we'll get her side of the story coming up after news here on 720 WGN. All right, Steve, you may want to hang out during this. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. Water, okay? We all need it. Problems began in Flint, Michigan in April of 2014 when the state decided to switch Flint's water source temporarily to the Flint River as a cost-saving measure until a new supply line to Lake Huron was ready. They had previously been getting their water.
Detroit.
And now they wanted to change it to save some money.
Yeah.
After the switch, residents started complaining about the way their water looked, how it smelled, that it tasted funny. And Virginia Tech researchers found the water was highly corrosive, but officials initially brushed off the concerns, insisting the water was safe. This was April 2014.
Mm-hmm.
We are in January of 2016. And that water is still being pumped into the faucets of the residents. And one of those residents on the line with us from Flint, Michigan right now, Patty Warner. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Did we get all that pretty much accurately?
Yeah, you did it. I think you did a very good job.
All right.
There's a lot of misinformation out there, and you did a great job. Thank you.
All right. Now, I didn't realize this was going on since April 2014. The goal was to save some money, and a temporary thing for the water to come from Flint River, and then you were going to go to Lake Huron. But, I mean, like, what was it smelling like? What did it look like? Was it cloudy? You just knew something was wrong?
Well, I was one of the lucky ones. It's close to health, actually. Like, my neighbor across the street was filling up her bathtub this summer and said, oh, my gosh, she was going to put her child into it. It was orange.
Oh, my God. And like rusty, corrosive yuck.
Right. And so I test my water every day just because the bottom line here in Flint is we've lost public trust. Thank God I got contacted with Professor Edwards' team. His name is Sid Roy. So I always sent my results, my water test. If I have any questions, I write to him. And he says that I just trust him, his, you know, answer, rather than the Michigan Department of MDEQ has failed us, the governor's failed us. I mean, so many people have failed us that we don't trust anybody.
And who is this doctor that you're sending your results to? What is he with? What
Professor Edwards, is that the name you used?
Yeah. Well, Mark Edwards is the one, was one of the whistleblowers, like Dr. Mona at Hurley Hospital here, the pediatrician. And he came up here with his team, and Sid Roy is part of his team. And when I wanted to, I just Googled Virginia Tech Engineering School, and I got this gentleman who was on Dr. Edwards' team, and it was he's been really helpful. And like for instance, the MDEQ is still handing out sometimes the wrong water test kits. He said those are not EPA standards. So like I was going around the other day taking pictures of fire stations to see if they have the right bottles, and then sending the pictures down to Sid Roy. He said, thanks. I put it on Twitter, and I'm going to call MDEQ and say, please don't use the wrong bottles. We need the right testing bottle. There's a big difference.
So since this has been going on, you have been testing your water and obviously not drinking it.
No. I drink bottled water. I'm sitting and looking right now at two cases of water that the National Guard delivered yesterday. I've got water filters. I've got two water filters, Zero Water. They've been a great company, too, and they've been helping us a lot.
Zero Water. Zero, Z-E-R-O,
then W-A-T-E-R, right on their website. They're doing a fundraising thing for Flint, Michigan right now. And then I've got three filters, faucet filters, and none of them fit on my faucet. So that's what a lot of people are finding. So it's going to take a whole lot more than, you know, just water and filter. We need a fix. We need a fix. Governor Snyder has apologized, and it's falling on deaf ears over here in Flint. It's just...
Yeah, he released an email that went public, was it earlier this week, Wednesday, a release of his own emails. And he feels that some in Flint are taking the very sensitive issue of children's exposure to lead and trying to turn this into a political football, claiming the departments are underestimating the impacts on the population and particularly trying to shift responsibility to the state. He goes on to say the real responsibility rests with the county, the city, and the KWA, Carignan-Dee Water Authority. But since the issue here is the health of the citizens and their children, we're taking a proactive approach, putting the Department of Health and Human Services out there as an educator. Big deal. I mean, too little, too late.
Exactly. Too little, too late. And he's shifting blame. The buck, he admitted. He said, the buck stops with me. Well, if the buck stops with you, sir, what we'd like him to do is come up here to Flint, Michigan, rent a house, and live like we do. You know, again, getting back to work, my water has not been discolored. And Dr. Edwards and Sid Roy said it's safe to bathe and shower. It's okay. As long as your water isn't discolored. And that, again, we're an old city with an old infrastructure, so the pipes and the drainage system and everything else, the holding tanks, they're all different in different neighborhoods. But see, I mean, I've been fine as far as, I mean, both of my tests came back with some lead in it, but I don't trust it in the DEQ, so I'm having it tested again, and I'm going to have an independent study, too, because I want to compare the two. Because no one trusts anyone in Michigan, you know, at the government level. That's just the sad thing. But, again, and then the young lady across the street with her little boy and her husband, you know, they've had orange water on and off. The only time my water was orange, and I just freaked, was when the city was flushing the hydrants. And I thought they could have told us.
Right.
So, I mean, so this orange water comes out, and people are finding, and some people are experiencing hair loss, rashes. And think of these little children. I mean, I know so many little children, they have irreparable poisoning now.
Well, lead paint was obviously a big issue. We have a very old house, and you know, we've tested for lead paint. I think can paint over it. I can't even remember all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now the lead isn't, from what I'm understanding, is it's not the lead that's in the water per se. It's actually when the water from the Flint River is going through the corroded pipes, it's picking up lead from that.
Okay, but the river, actually, that we've had a wonderful river coalition, and it's not the river. A lot of people say it's the toxic Flint River. The Flint River is not toxic. I mean, they still have a lot of long way to go because of all the GM factories over the years dump stuff in it. But it's really improved. The water, they did not put in the anti-corrosive. The EPA, I just saw on TV a little bit ago, I mean, the EPA, the federal EPA is jumping all over this. Now, I mean, because Snyder's trying to throw it, blame EPA, and the EPA kind of giving him a to-do list and do it now. It's when the river water that was not treated with anti-corrosive goes through the old infrastructure and the lead service lines. That's when it, and so it was eating away the nice, the scale that was protecting it.
Yeah.
So, okay, back in October, we switched to Detroit water. So a lot of people said, oh, good, we're all better. No. As Dr. Edwards said, it takes months to years to have those pipes heal.
Years.
That's why Karen Weaver, Dr. Karen, our new mayor, is fighting so hard, trying to identify which neighborhoods are the worst. Mm-hmm. And we need money for digging up those lead service lines and replacing them. So it's never ending. There's so many different elements, so many different facets. Yes, the National Guard and the Red Cross are working great. We have all this bottled water.
Right.
But we can only go so far.
Right, of course.
And we have people in the impoverished areas. And I was talking to my friend who's a Red Cross volunteer.
Yeah.
He said, Patty, it's so sad because I saw an old man trying to carry his, he had no transportation.
You're trying to move a giant jug of water and he can't.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, it just breaks your heart. And
sure.
So, I mean, bless his heart that he's doing that. I tend to get on the phone and, holler a lot.
What?
So,
Patty, are you okay on time? Can we take a quick break and come back? We have a lot more questions.
Oh,
you're good.
Patty
Warner's our guest, a lifelong resident of Flint, Michigan. You know what's going on there. The water situation is just abysmal. We'll continue this discussion. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. We're getting a lot of texts as we talk to Patty Warner, who is a resident of Flint, Michigan. And just a sweet little text that I wanted to share. Thanks for bringing this Flint, Michigan situation up. And thank you for keeping Flint in the spotlight. Every time we turn on a water faucet, we should think about what people are going through in Flint. Isn't that nice, Patty?
Oh, people have been so supportive at all. It really is touching. It makes us cry because it's like when I was watching the Food Channel earlier, and it's just like we can't turn on the tap, to draw water. We have to always, use our bottled water and our zero water. We can't do anything with it. And it's just, people have been, that is a lovely text, and it's, people have been so wonderful. I'm drinking Share water, right? Share donated water.
She sent
right
a bunch
now
out there,
180,000
right?
Cases.
Yes. And that was delivered yesterday. And, I mean, people have been really stepping up and sending wonderful. I mean, I think this brings the best out of people, too. And another thing I want to bring up, too, Bill and Wendy, is Rick Snyder does not think about, because he lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Okay. They had a protest there the other day in front of his, $2 million condo. Downtown Flint, we've had our hits, but we're tough. This is where the sit-down strike happened 80 years ago, about this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like Dan Kildare, our congressman, has been so supportive and everything. He says, people don't know the people of Flint.
Yeah.
You can knock them down, but we just get right back up and fight. And it's just amazing how I think that there's going to be a silver lining out of this somehow. I think we're the poster child again for what can go wrong in a huge man-made crisis. And I think other governors are going to go, oh, you know, gee, we don't want to end up like Snyder. We better start looking at what we've got going on in our beaching cities.
Right. Patty, can I ask this? A lot of people have said because Flint is somehow one of the more economically depressed areas of Michigan, that's why no one's really done anything. That if this is done in one of the more affluent communities in Michigan, that you would have seen something happen very, very fast. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do agree with that, even though so many people, including Mr. Snyder, they say, no. My friends who live in Bloomfield Hills have told me, Patty, this wouldn't happen for a second here. If it was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, this would not happen here. They wouldn't have put up with it. He would have fixed it. And we do have a large black population. It's a very diverse culture here. Mm-hmm. We have two major universities downtown. Kettering University is one of the top engineering schools in the country. Mm-hmm. Students from all over the world come. So they've got, that's something to think about. These kids, they have to be safe. University of Michigan Flint, we have a resurgence going on downtown. Brand new businesses, people are pioneers, they're opening up businesses. Well, they don't want to lose, customers.
Of course not.
And he's not even thinking about that kind of thing.
Yeah, what are restaurants doing when they can't use their water? That's what someone wanted to know on the text line. What about the restaurants? Are there things that
all
are...
them, excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay, all of them, especially the Good Beans Cafe, a very popular coffee house. He's been doing filter water long before the lead thing. So most of them, they're interviewing a couple people who own about three restaurants downtown. They have major filtration systems. And I try to tell people it is safe to come downtown to Flint, either the restaurants. Now, there could be some little Coney Islands, who don't really quite know. And sometimes when I go to little Coney Islands, I say, that's a bottled water.
that's a smart move. Patty, though, are you still being billed? Do you still get a bill every month or every other month for water?
Yes.
You still do.
What?
How can that be?
That's the other thing. I am one person here, and my bill last month, this is weird, it was $149 2 months ago. And then last month it was $67, and this month it was $100. So I called the city, and I said, what's going on? You didn't. We got the $67 check. I said, because my bill didn't reflect it. And he said, I don't understand. I'm one person. I'm not using that much water.
Right.
He said, it's the holidays.
Oh, yeah, holiday water.
And I went, duh. Yeah. And then some people, some friends of mine, they're with six people. It's like $350 a month for water we can't use.
That's obscene.
That is awful.
That's criminal. And so I think Kildee's going after that on that angle. We need tons of investigation. There is a class action suit, all kinds of suits going on right now about that. And
Patty, if you don't pay your bill, what's the worst they can do? Turn off your water? Stop paying the bill. I wouldn't pay the bill.
Well, see, this is weird. Okay, there is an injunction where they couldn't, there's a law passed in the fall, and then it was overturned somehow. So then they started doing shutoff notices again.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa Mays, who's one of the main, water warriors, because I think Melissa's the one who was the child that does have lead poisoning, she quit paying her bills, and she's getting shutoff notices. That is totally unfair. When she gets that shutoff notice, I hope she goes to the media.
Yeah.
And big time. Yeah.
And you do need the tap water for some things, like washing your clothes. Can you wash in it? Texters were also asking very quickly, what about your appliances when this is over? Despite the health issues, what's it doing to your water heater and your dishwasher and your washing machine?
Well, exactly. And that's what we're going to be. My friend, he said, check inside your toilet tank and just look at that stuff.
Yep.
And I did. And mine isn't as bad as others. That's the other thing down the line. That's a very, very good question because a lot of people are just beginning to think about that. Oh, my goodness, what's it doing? And I want to have a whole new water heater put in. Just, well, this one's pretty old, and I just don't trust
They should buy everyone a new water heater
exactly.
once this happens.
But I'm thinking, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that? And so those are very, your audience is asking very, very good questions. And I just, it's just amazing. So many layers to this. And every day on the news, there's something else. And, you know, his emails that he released, I don't know if you saw a picture of him, but they're all, so much of it's blacked out.
Yeah.
Well, makes him look really rosy, you know, and it just...
The bottom line when we began talking to you, Patty, is, yeah, this water issue is inconvenient and unhealthy, but the bottom line is you've lost your trust in local government. How can we help?
Absolutely.
How can we, we send you water? Is there something we can do to help the residents of Flint, Michigan?
Oh, we can use all the help we can. I'm trying to think. I don't know the number. If you leave your an email or something where or a text number where I could text. Well, I could text you back on this number, right?
Yeah, or just give the information to Kevin. And if there is a place that we should, go to a website or something where we could send some water. You know, we can't do as much as Cher did, but if everybody could send some cases of water,
That's wonderful. One place is the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan.
The Food Bank of Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm. You can probably, if you Google that, maybe the Red Cross in Flint.
Well, you know what? We're going to put you on with our – don't hang up.
We'll
talk to Kevin,
out.
And we'll get the best place to send it, and we'll put a link up on our Facebook page. And in any way anyone can help, we think about you residents of Flint every day we take a drink of water.
Thank you so much. That is, we can't thank the people who are supporting us. And it took so long. People were screaming for so long, and we weren't listened to. So
you're being heard now, Patty.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. And go Chicago.
Thanks, Patty.
I didn't even care if you beat us and go Cubs.
Thank you. We knew we'd get that out of you eventually. That was our goal today.
Go
Patty.
Cubs, go Sox,
go Hawks.
Hawks, yep. Whatever.
Right.
All right, Patty,
thanks,
you're
Patty.
Sweet. Hang on just a moment, and Kevin, get some information. We'll find the best place to donate, and really, if I put in $50, you can get 10 cases of water sent there. Every little bit will help. We can do more than share. Seriously,
right.
I mean, it's Sandra Bernhardt is from Flint, Michigan. Why isn't she sending water? Michael Moore, Bob Eubanks. Bob Bell was from there.
Was he? Bozo? TV's
Bozo.
Bozo was from there? All right. Well, our heart's certainly going out to Patty and everybody who lives in Flint. The water situation there is just inconceivable. I can't believe it's been going on this long.
We'll get you a website and to donate later.
We'll take care of that. All right. We'll do some news. Steve has the news for you next and then a lot more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. If you'd like to jump in during the show, you know how to do it. It's 312-981-7200. Kurt Wagner is in studio with us. Kurt is in charge of a website called TVShowPatrol.com, and right now he's choking to death.
Well, Kurt, we should tell you when you hit the cough button, it does make you cough, so don't do that.
All right, sorry. Hello, everyone.
It's Wendy's turn to Heimlich the guests, so if you need anything, just
God,
signal
that
Wendy.
Old ruse again.
Yep.
She'll just punch me in the stomach.
I wouldn't doubt it. Welcome back. You spent a couple of weeks at a big TV critics convention, and when a lot of TV critics get together, what do they talk about, Kurt?
Well, the networks talk to us. They bring
their
shows, and they sit on stage and have these sessions where they talk about new shows, and the actors or producers are usually there.
Yeah, and I'll let you cough, and then I'll ask you another question. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
We'd give you some water, and I know this sounds terrible, but we don't have water.
We'll get you something.
There's one in the office.
Would you like some spinach? We have spinach. All right, we'll get you some spinach. Was there anything that you saw, Kurt, at this two-week convention that you absolutely said, this is a huge hit, this can't miss, I can't wait to see this on my TV?
Yes.
There was. All right. Take a
minute. Two-week-long thing, though. How great is
that? 2 weeks in a row for these TV critics to watch some television
and discuss
play
among
foosball.
Themselves.
Yeah.
They had foosball?
No foosball.
There was no foosball. All right.
Darn it.
I apologize. All right. So what did you see that made you think to yourself, this is going to be a big hit? Or do you need a moment to compose yourself?
The X-Files.
Oh, it's coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday.
We can fill. It's Sunday already. I've been seeing the billboards 4 days, 3 days. I am so excited about this. I'm going to fill in the gaps while you recoup.
Some of the original cast.
Well, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny is all I really care about.
Yeah.
Although, who's the bald guy Skinner that I loved so much?
Be nice to
Mitch
see
Pileggi. I wish
nice
he was
to see
on.
Him again.
He is no part of this.
No, he's in there.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, my good gracious golly me mercy.
Joel.
I'm stalling.
Joel McHale.
Joel McHale's
Community.
In it.
He's in it.
Yeah. Joel McHale at TCA made this crack about how the show is all about his character now.
they switched the focus to him?
Yeah. Good. But he is an important character because his character is the one who brings them back together.
Oh, good.
Scully and
Mulder.
Mulder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Truth is out there. Yep. And
what about now, the cigarette smoking man? Is he in there?
He died of cancer.
No, don't say that. That wouldn't be good.
I nope, he's still there.
All right.
He's there. Oh, my God. And the lone gunman.
Are they involved? The three lone gunmen?
Maybe in some form.
Oh,
because we could talk. We know that one.
In cartoon form? Is there an animated version of them?
They wouldn't say.
All right.
I get this thing for my kids once a month. It's goofy, but it's fun. It's called Loot Crate, and it's a monthly subscription, and you get these things that are not of, they're exclusives to Loot Crate, mm-hmm. and they got their new one, and it's X-Files related. So there's an X-Files t-shirt. There's a little Space Invader action figure.
And you didn't steal this stuff from them? That sounds right up your alley.
I did take the X-Files t-shirt. Dylan's Loot Crate has not arrived yet. I took Michael's.
Oh.
I go, you don't like this show. He goes, but I want to watch the new one. No, you won't like it.
These are for mommy.
But now only six episodes from my understanding
right.
at this point. And they've said if it's fun and there's no pressure, they might do more. Is that true?
Right. They might do more. They were a little dodgy on that, though. But...
The last movie was not up to standards.
And Chris Carter has said that.
The last movie was kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
All right. So we're hoping for better things.
But they have a definite, their chemistry is still there.
Oh, of course.
You can't lose it.
Yeah.
When you have chemistry, look at, I'm not tooting our own horn, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't work together for almost 17 years.
Right.
And got back together and didn't
Solving
miss a beat.
Supernatural crimes.
The truth is out there, Mulder.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. Whatever Kurt has, we will cure. We will take him to the doctor really quick. He's on a PPO. We'll get that taken care of. more after this is Phil and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here. He has black lung disease, and he's the brains behind TV show Patrol.com.
I was actually in the coal mines the last two
sure.
weeks.
Sure. Tough. This time of year is rough on you coal miners. Let's talk about The People versus O.J. Simpson. We've been seeing ads for this for several
weeks. Oh, my God. John
weeks.
Travolta makes the best. Robert Shapiro, is that his
name?
Yeah,
he's Shapiro.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Looks just like him. The eyebrows. He nails it.
I know. The new anthology series on FX called American Crime Story, and their first one is going to be People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's really good. At first when I watched it, I thought, oh, this is so frenetic and bizarre and,
yeah.
and loud and that kind of thing. But then I remembered watching the slow speed Bronco chase,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it happened. And then all the, you know, it was live on TV. The courtroom proceedings were live on TV. And they had all the people outside, all the reporters and everything. And so it really nails it, I think.
Really?
Plus then it's based on, I can't remember whose book, one of the reporters who was there the whole time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fictional parts or the little stretches are, you know, sort of the behind the scenes things, you know, but it really sort of nails the whole, you know, the racism and the sexism. Marcia Clark's story is
played by Sarah Paulson
yeah.
from American Horror Story.
Yeah.
She looks just like her.
Yeah.
And I talked to her and she said that the stuff this woman went through was just incredible. You wouldn't believe it. And I actually asked her if her characters on American Horror Story suffered more than Marcia Clark. And she said, and she kind of laughed and said, well, you know, fictional to true life. But no, Marcia Clark had to deal with so much stuff from the people sitting in the room with
really?
Her.
I didn't
from Judge
realize
Ida,
that.
From Judge Ida, who made a comment about her hair.
I forgot about all that. I really did.
Yeah. And so it's a really good reproduction of all that stuff that's happening. And not to mention, you know, you see the Kardashians before they were the Kardashians
right.
and everything.
Because their father was one of the attorneys.
Right.
The
well,
case.
He was like a really good friend of his. And OJ apparently almost shot himself, you know, in Kim's bedroom.
Yeah. Now, without the O.J. Simpson case, is it safe to say we wouldn't know about Robert Kardashian and his family would never have come to light? Is that a possibility?
I suppose it's a possibility.
Don't blame OJ. Obama. Blame O.J.
O.J. should be locked up just for that, then.
That starts February 1st, by
and
the way.
It's John Travolta, and it's Sarah Paulson, and it's Cuba Gooding Jr., right, plays O.J. Simpson.
And there's David Schwimmer's in it. He plays Kardashian.
That is weird to see, but how does he do in that?
I think he does well. I think he's very good in it.
And I can't think of anything other than Ross from Friends.
Well, it is a little...
a couple of other things.
Yeah. It could be... It's kind of a little difficult, I guess.
Yeah.
At first. But then Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, and that's going to be on for how long? I know that's it obviously is a limited series as well.
13.
Oh, is it that
8
long?
Or 13, I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. All right, we'll be looking forward to that. You have some breaking news, Kurt, for something that affects our city.
Yes, Chicago Legal has been put on the fast track.
This is another
NBC.
Dick Wolf show?
It is the fourth of the Chicago series.
So far we have Chicago Fire. We have Chicago
PD, Chicago Med.
Chicago
I
Med,
like that.
The newest one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And Chicago Legal. And they're thinking that it
Chicago
will,
Hookers is next.
That would be all
maybe.
Right. Yeah.
I'll be in that.
I was hoping they would do Chicago Sanitary District. But.
That would be good. There's a lot of possibilities. All right. So when you say it's been put on the fast track, that means this guy has a good record. They like what he does.
Right.
It's good
and NBC has said that. They said, you know, we were impressed by how they got Chicago Med up and running so quickly. So I think they will probably start introducing people this spring.
Yeah.
Into the, you know, legal people into the current shows.
Yeah.
And in the fall. And I think it'll probably, well, they say that it'll probably premiere in mid-season of 2016-2017.
You know, it's good for the city when they do more series here for obvious reasons. It helps the economy. Yeah. They bring workers out here. It's good for the actors who work here. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. So we could look for that as soon as when? When do you think that would
probably
be?
Spring
in the fall?
Of
in
no,
the spring?
Probably spring of 17, 2017.
Oh, all right.
Cuz it'll probably
wait.
Be a mid or winter, you know, January.
Yeah.
Like a mid-season thing. Med was supposed to start now in January, but they had to switch it with Heartbeat because the lead actress in Heartbeat was pregnant.
Oh, all right.
So they had to switch, which is why they were impressed by how Med was able to get going so
good.
Fast.
I enjoy that show. We
is
had
that good?
The main doctor guy on that I can't remember his name. He was so charming.
Colin O'Donnell?
Yes.
Dark hair?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He was sweet. You were on vacation. He was so nice. Mm-hmm. His wife's an actress. She was in with him. And that show, I loved ER. It's very much like that. And I'm a hypochondriac, so it's really good to try and make my prognosis as the people are coming in.
Well, when we were on set, it's so amazing how they do the bodies they're operating on.
Yeah.
Because they have a real person laying on the bed, but then they hollow out the body part so that the body's lower.
Yeah.
And they have a fake body on top that they have that they can open up and it has
oh, cool.
the
so the head's really there talking or do,
yeah,
oh, that's
or,
cool.
or like, you know, whatever, rolling around or whatever.
Yeah.
Although they shouldn't be awake if they're cut
no.
open. But that's how they do it and the organs, all that stuff looks so real.
But you know what separates this from like other medical shows is because it's Chicago, even though the bodies aren't open, there's always a pizza next to it.
There's usually a pizza inside.
Sometimes there is a pizza inside. Right. That's how we know the difference. And then one of the funniest guys, I think, on the planet, Zach Galifianakis, has his own TV series called Baskets on FX. Have you seen any of these
It
yet?
Started last night, I
oh,
think.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre.
He kills
as you would
me.
Expect.
So funny.
And Louis C.K. is one of the producers of
oh,
it,
is
which
he
is
really?
Why we don't have new Louis episodes.
And can I share what I know about the show? Because I saw a picture
another
yesterday.
Louis?
His mom, the mom on the show, Zach Galifianakis' mom, is played by Louis Anderson.
Right. Right. And you want to know how that came about?
Oh. Yes.
They were trying to figure out who could be the mom. And Zach was talking to Louis C.K. and saying, you know, well, I picture her having a voice that's sort of, you know, and he did this voice, right? And Louis C.K. said, oh, you mean like Louis Anderson?
Yeah.
Like Louis Anderson's voice. And Zach said, yeah, I guess so. So who should we try to get to do this? And he goes, how about we get Louis Anderson? And they called Louis Anderson up, and he didn't even have to get pitched. He said, yes, I'll do it.
Oh,
we
got
to talk to him. He's been on the show a bunch of times. We have to talk to him and congratulate him. Does he look good as a woman?
Does it
look like Louis Anderson as a woman?
Louis does an impression of his mom.
Well, and that's what he said. That's what he said. He's sort of doing his mom.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see him doing
that. And you know what? It's really touching. You know, I mean, there's a lot of humor in this, but it's sort of a, it's got a lot of dramatic elements, you know, because isn't all comedy sadness or something like, what's that saying? There's some kind of saying like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Comedy and timing equals tragedy. No.
Dying is easy, comedy is hard. Is that the one?
I don't know.
Something like that?
I think we're all off.
We're all missing it.
But there's a tinge of sadness to it, you know, because Zach's character is a guy who his mom paid for him to go to French clown school.
I'm in.
Or as they say, clown.
Yeah.
And he gets kicked out because they won't speak English. Like, he doesn't speak French and they don't speak English. So he doesn't have any idea what's going on in the clown school. And so...
Sacre bleu.
So he comes back home and becomes a rodeo clown.
Oh, really?
And he's trying to do all this very artsy clown stuff. And then, like, I think one of the clips shows him throwing these sprinkles in the air and he's, like, all dressed up. And this bull comes and just bashes him, knocks him over. You know, so there's this fun... You know, seriousness and high comedy and plus the low comedy.
Good.
So it's really cool.
I love him. Yeah. All right. So that's Zach Galifianakis' show, Baskets, and it's on FX.
Yeah, on Thursdays.
On Thursdays. All right. Kurt, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're feeling better. I know you had a coughing bout.
Sorry about that.
Now you're fixed. All right. Well, now Wendy has it. Look how these things happen.
It's dry in here.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then the doctors will come in and check everybody and see if we can proceed. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
We need the humidifier.
Yes, we do.
It's Bill and Wendy here, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here on 720 WGN. Earlier in the show, we talked to a Flint, Michigan resident by the name of Patty Warner. And she doesn't brush her teeth with the water that's there. She doesn't give it to her pets. Her ice maker is turned off. She only uses filtered or bottled water for coffee. She was told that since her water wasn't orange, she could bathe in it.
That's refreshing to hear,
isn't it?
It's
not that refreshing.
Yeah.
And so we were talking to Patty, and we wondered how we could get water to Flint, Michigan, and it looks like the water train is heading that way, and it was being engineered by Eric Washington. Eric, you're a Chicago firefighter?
Yes, I am.
All right. I know you were on Roe Show yesterday. We are looking at your information on DNAinfo.com. And bottom line is you empathize with these water problems in Flint, Michigan. Why is that?
You have to feel sorry for these people. I mean, they've been placed in a situation beyond their control because their governor wanted to save some money.
And we asked Patty, Bill had mentioned it was an area that doesn't have a lot of money, and Bill, you asked Patty if maybe that's why it's taken so long to fix this, and she seemed to agree.
There's been a lot of conjecture in the press as to whether or not this would happen in one of the more well-to-do areas in Michigan, and she even said, yeah, we're more of an economically depressed area, and that has something to do with it. What are your thoughts on that, Eric?
I would have to agree. We see this in third world countries. We saw it in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. There's always a delay when you have people who aren't, you know, financially stable, and they need it. They need it more than anyone at this point. But I would have to agree, because if this was to happen here in Chicago, in New York or L.A., it would have been resolved.
Sure.
They wouldn't have kept it under wraps for so long. And then when it comes out, then they want to act like they want to take action. But by myself and other people voicing their opinion and stepping up, the pressure's on. They have to get it fixed now.
All right. Now, Eric, you are do you have your own truck? You're planning to pack a truck with some clean water, bottled water, and head up to Flint. We'll tell you all the information of how you can donate water. Do you have a truck?
No. Originally, I was going to rent a U-Haul, just something that people, you know, move every day, and like if they're moving an apartment or something. I was going to use a U-Haul. I had no idea that this would take off as quick as it did and reach out and reach so many people, and everyone that it's touched has pretty much called and volunteered their services. I've had about 6 or 7 people with semi trucks volunteering to come take this water up to Flint. My union, Local 2 union president, Tom Lyon, he called and told me that he was going to try to get me a truck for what I'm doing. Everyone's been helpful. And like I've been telling everybody, I didn't do it. I just put the word out. Everybody else did the work.
All right, and we're going to tell you about the GoFundMe page that you can add money to, but we can set you up with a truck right now. Justin, you're hearing Eric Washington, and you're offering a truck, aren't you?
Yes, Eric, the company I work for, our name is JB Hunt, and we're looking to offer the services of one of our trucks to help you get the water up to Flint, Michigan.
I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. And I believe you reached out to my firehouse, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, they told me that you had called, and I appreciate it. We definitely need it.
All right, now this is what's a beautiful thing. First of all, if anyone wants to donate cases of water, you can drop it off by January 30th at the Hyde Park Academy High School, 6220 South Stony Island Avenue. That's January 30th from 9 a.m. to noon. And if you can't get out there, there's a GoFundMe page. If you go look for it, the GoFundMe page, the man we're talking to, Eric Washington, Chicago firefighter. I think this is pretty astounding. You put this GoFundMe page up one day ago. 265 people have donated, and it's already up to $7,658.
That's great.
Yeah, I had no clue that it would take off like that. My initial goal was $2,000. With that, I could have went to Costco and bought almost 7,500 bottles of water. The day after I set it up, I passed $2,000 quick. GoFundMe reached out to me, told me that I needed to increase my goal, because what they tend to see is sometimes when people see that you've met a goal, they slow down with donating.
Yeah,
so
I increased it to $5,000, and I hit that the same day. They called me again this morning, told me to increase it again. So I've increased it to $10,000, and they also notified me that from today until next Friday, everyone who's donating to a Flint account to help out with bottles, whoever has the largest donations between this Friday and next Friday, will get an additional $10,000.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
That's great.
All right, Justin, now, Eric and Justin, do you guys have each other's information? And Justin, will you be driving this truck?
I will be driving the truck. If the need arises, I believe we may be able to work out another truck to haul for
him. How about that?
Appreciate it. I do have your contact number.
All right.
That's good to know. Just whenever you get a chance, let us know, and we'll get something arranged for you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
And again, Justin, you work for JB Hunt. Let's give it a plug out there, because that's a great thing you guys are doing. Thanks for helping
out. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. And that's great to hear what you're doing, and we would love to get behind it.
Thank you.
How about that? Eric, you got people just coming out of the woodwork, because you know what? That was my New Year's resolution, to drink more water. We all need water. These poor people cannot just turn on their faucet and have a glass of water.
That's the thing. We've now come to take that for granted, that that's where water is. It's just so easy to just lift it up, and you have as much as you need, and they've not had it for months and months and months. So, boy, Eric, what a good thing you're doing. We hope to help in any way we can.
Thank you. I mean, just getting the word out is enough for me. I think right now at this point, what I would like to see, because so many individuals, just normal everyday people, have, you know, been pouring out support, I would like to see some of these larger corporations in the city of Chicago to get behind me, because this says a lot about the people that we have in Chicago. We may have our own issues here, but when we see other people in need, we're quick to help. So I would love to see other companies get behind me and make a donation or arrange to have water sent up to Flint.
You're doing a great thing. You're a Chicago firefighter. Have you watched Chicago Fire? Do you think it's accurate?
I think we know the answer. What are they getting wrong, Eric? What could they be doing that would make it more accurate?
It's not on the job. It's not a soap opera like they portray it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys really work hard, and we can't thank you for all you do, because you guys enter a building when everybody else is trying to rush out. So thank you for your service. We appreciate that. Maybe they'll do a story on Chicago Fire about you, a Chicago firefighter who wants to help a community in in Flint, Michigan. And who knows? Maybe you should contact them. We should have them call you.
Hey, everyone seemed to get my number, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were on the end of the call.
All right, so you just, it's the GoFundMe page. It's GoFundMe.com, and you can search the Flint crisis. Is that correct?
Chicago's Water Drive for Flint, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Chicago's Water Drive for Flint, Michigan. You can go on the GoFundMe page. Trying to raise $10,000, already up to $76.58. And if you'd like to drop off food, when do they do it? This is next week?
Next Saturday, January 30th, from 9 a.m. to noon at High Park Academy, 6220 South Stony Island.
Godspeed in your water delivery service. We appreciate what you're doing, and boy, do the people in Flint appreciate it too, Eric.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Eric. Thanks. Have a great weekend. That's Eric Washington, a Chicago firefighter, who's doing an extremely nice thing in helping out the people of Flint, Michigan.
I want to donate to the GoFundMe page, but I also want to send some cases of water to Patty Warner that we spoke to, so it comes from us to thank her for being on the show. Really, you said it best. We take advantage of turning on the faucet.
Well, it's just...
brushing your teeth.
I was thinking about that, and I said to you, how about just... I know this sounds ridiculous because they need water for more important things, but this time of year, you almost need a humidifier going, and you don't want to put water in there that's spreading germs, those kind of germs all throughout your house. There's like so many little things. Because I said before, if the city of Flint was doing this to me, I'd stop paying my water bill.
But then what did we learn?
Well, the problem is if you're using something like, say, a toilet or something that might use some water and you don't have water going through your system, then you got a bigger problem. So I guess you kind of have to pay your water bill. But that's so unfair that the city is still billing them for this tainted water. It's terrible.
And then they're
awful.
Changing the price because it was the holidays.
Right.
I guess, you know, people have visitors, you use more water at your house, but have you heard of a water meter?
Right.
You know, you don't just...
you don't charge a number at random because it's the holidays and go, well, you know, Christmas time, more water, so we're going to charge you more. Right. It seems a little suspect, doesn't it? All right. Again, thank you to Eric Washington, who's doing a very, very nice thing.
And J.B. Hunt.
And J.B. Hunt, who's lending them a truck or two.
I got a couch I'd like to move. Maybe I could call
see
them,
what they
too.
Can do. All right.
Kidding.
A break, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is a pretty nice thing for Adele. Now, I can't remember, are you a fan of Adele's or not a fan of Adele's?
Well, I think she's pretty fantastic.
She's got a great voice, doesn't she?
I wouldn't listen to a lot of her music in my spare time.
How come? Is there a reason?
I like to rock a little harder than that.
I don't think you would go to her if you were looking for rock, but if you were just looking for a beautiful, soothing voice, probably.
Well, she can rock. I love her voice. I think she's phenomenal.
She's got a beautiful voice. Well, now, you know, she's got the song Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Wendy. It just broke a record on YouTube. I'm looking at the number, and it's, boy, this is hard to believe, but it's true. Her single Hello has hit 1 billion views on YouTube in less than 3 months. It took 87 days for Adele to hit 1 billion hits on YouTube.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's a crazy amount.
These stupid YouTubers have millions of trillions of viewers, and all they do is play a video game, and people watch them play.
I know.
So, I mean, really, I know. Adele, who has actual talent, that surprises you?
But what happens? Does somebody who likes it, let's say I love the song, and I like the song. It's not my favorite Adele song of all time, but I like that song.
Hello.
So, hi, Wendy. So let's say I'm a big fan of that song, and I think the video is great. Would I then every day, would I watch it a couple times a day, or would I watch it once and think about other things and then come back and go, you know, I haven't seen it in a long time. Is that Adele video? And go back and watch it again.
Well, how many people are in this world?
Tons.
Oops.
Tons and tons.
All right. Are there how many billions?
I don't know the number. I can't keep track. It's always changing. It beat, you know what the old record was? This is amazing. It's something we talked about a little bit on the show a couple of weeks ago. Not that it was on YouTube with 1 billion hits, but the old song to reach 1 billion before this is what? Do you know?
Oh, that's a great question.
The last song to hit 1 billion hits on YouTube before Hello is Gangnam Style from Psy, P-S-Y.
You're kidding me.
That had 1 billion hits, over 1 billion hits. That took 158 days. That's more stunning. Hello, you kind of get, even though 1 billion is a big number, you go, yeah, but that's a great song. She's got a great voice. But that Gangnam Style, did that deserve 1 billion hits on YouTube?
I want to hear the Gangnam Style now because it's really popular.
It's very popular.
It's, come on, it's, We played it because he did come up in the news, and it's pretty good.
Can I tell you what I think is going to break this record for Hello? Seriously? Well, no, Star Wars for different reasons. There's a song. It's Hello. It's essentially the same song as Adele, but she does a duet with Squiggy from Lenny and Squiggy, and it's still called Hello. Do you want to hear a little bit of this? I think this is going to cream her version of Hello. Kevin, do we have that? Can we play that? Listen to this. Tell me what you think of this.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me. I was wondering if after all.
Listen to how beautiful her voice is. And then you add Squiggy, who I guess was her neighbor in an apartment in Milwaukee.
You are twisted.
You'll hear more. This is beautiful.
I'm supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear?
That's more beautiful than the original. I think that's going to top out way at 2 billion. That's my prediction.
Listen to that voice, man.
Squiggy's voice?
No, Adele.
Adele also has a nice voice, yeah.
She kicks ass.
She's good.
Well, there was another, Lionel Richie had that song, Hello, right?
Oh, he did. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I did a little digging and I came up with this.
Hello.
So that's Lionel Richie.
He just appears anywhere?
Apparently, Squiggy has some sort of a patent on the word hello. So whenever anyone in song wants to do a song where the word hello is featured, somehow Squiggy gets himself into the producer's booth and he adds his own musical magic. So I'm a fan of Squiggy's. I'm a fan of Adele's. Lionel Richie, you saw the way I painted my car. It's got Lionel Richie all over the hood. So, you know, this is music magic, in my opinion.
I'm ashamed.
Why?
I bet if we do a little digging during our lunch break, we're going to find more songs that feature Squiggy.
Who knows? It's possible. The guy gets around. He's great.
God, her voice is just chilling and haunting and gorgeous. Is she still smoking?
But listen to this voice.
Hello.
That's a beautiful voice, too, Wendy. You can't discount Squiggy's voice.
They're both so iconic in different ways.
Aren't they, though, Kim? You love them separately, but when you blend them together, Adele's and Squiggy's voice, I think what you have there is a billion-dollar thing there. I love
for
it.
For sure.
I love it.
Hello.
Hello.
You don't think that's better than the original? Seriously? It's way better.
And then they should add in there, Hello, Newman.
We're going to be busy during our lunch.
Hello, Newman. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll see if Steve even wants to follow this. I don't know if he does. What is this? Wait a second. Let's hear this.
Hello, it's
Todd Rundgren.
Rundgren worked for Squiggy? Yeah. I didn't understand.
Oh, we are going to have fun the second half of the show. I can tell you right now.
All right, quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has planned. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Cher's farewell tour is starting, I think, this week, Wendy. If you're going to see Cher ever, see her now. She's going to stop performing soon. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder.
Leave it up to when she does the auto-tuning, because this is the worst song I think I've ever heard in my life. This is where
song ever?
American Idol got it from.
It does have that kind of a flair, doesn't it?
That's not her, is it?
That's Cher.
Where does the auto-tuning come in? You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I just missed it.
Hang on, please. Indulge me.
There it is. You don't find that to sound natural? Come on.
That is the most disgusting song ever played on this radio station.
Interesting. And why are we playing Cher music? There must be a reason.
Well, she's in the news, of course. She donated 180,000 cases of water to the people in Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk about food sharing.
All right.
And it was a stretch.
All right. Slightly, but you made it work. Somehow you made it work. I don't know how. All right. What do we need to know?
Do you share food?
With three people on the planet, with my wife and with either of my daughters and nobody else under any circumstances.
Kevin, do you share food?
Yeah. I think so.
I've shared with you. I'd let you taste things. I would share with you, Bill, but you know, you don't think my plate is clean.
Right.
And you did share with me once, but there was a stipulation.
What was it? I don't remember.
We went out to eat at that Italian place that I can't remember the name of that we were just speaking of. You and me and Todd Manley.
Uh-huh. One of our bosses.
And you got a salad and you gave me your artichoke hearts because you don't like them.
Right. I'll do that. I'll pawn food off that I don't like. But
you used your own fork to put it on my plate. You wouldn't let me, you know.
I probably would have done that prior to eating anything.
Yeah.
Then I would have done it. Yeah.
So you technically you shared.
I guess. All right. I'll take that.
All right.
What did you learn in school today?
Sharing. Do you remember this commercial?
I do. It's for Cracker Jack. And it's an older man. Jack Gilford is his name.
You knew it without even looking at him, didn't
you? He was nominated for the movie Save the Tiger with Jack Lemmon, and he was on the last season of Soap.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome for sharing
that. He was
that.
On Soap?
Yeah, he was on the last year of Soap.
Well, I remember that commercial because I remember what you learn about in school today, sharing, and the little kid was just trying to get some of his grandpappy's Cracker Jack.
Yep.
Which was okay. The nuts were really the only good part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the prize wasn't really that great.
Yeah. So your theory is what on food sharing? You're against it, you're for it, you're
I'm
what?
For it. I do it. I don't mind, but there are times when you have to preface it. We went out for crab legs the other night, and Dylan said, do you mind if I get fried shrimp? And I said, no, but I'm not giving you any of my crab. And that's because...
Very motherly, by the way. As you have your fork up, if he tries to reach on your plate, you just stab him with the fork.
Well, I wanted the whole order.
I so understand that.
It's like if you want crab, then order crab.
Right.
If you want shrimp, get shrimp.
Right.
Why don't we get shrimp as an appetizer, and then we can all have shrimp, and then you get your own crab.
Yeah, you could do that.
I ended up giving him some of my crab meat, though.
Grudgingly.
No, I was full.
Oh, you okay, that's better. That's better.
But there is some food sharing etiquette that I found on BuzzFeed, and I would like to discuss it if that's cool with
you.
No matter how delicious someone's food looks, at least let them taste it before you start begging for a bite.
That seems to make sense. It's their food. They ordered it. They chose it.
But that's where I go against the rule, especially with my kids. I don't like sharing a beer with my husband, Jim, because, when he doesn't know how to drink out of a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And when he takes a sip of a beer bottle,
mm-hmm.
he creates some kind of suction where then when he puts it down, there's such a head on his beer. I don't know what he does, but you don't have to, like, put your lips around the bottle. He doesn't really do that, but you leave a little air. Like, you just kind of tip the bottle lip.
Tip, then sip.
Right.
That's how you do it.
He covers up the whole hole.
What a freak.
I know.
Why would you marry a guy like this?
I will not drink out of his beer. So my whole thing...
Have you guys fought about this? I can tell it's flaming you up. Has this been a point of contention at the house?
A little bit, because can I just tell you, and I, you know, really, I'm sure this happens in other houses, but I will open a beer and put it down and go do something, mm-hmm. and when I come back, he has taken my opened beer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can you keep track of your own beer? And he said, what's the difference? And I said, you make it too foamy. So, yeah, this is kind of a problem.
There's no way you have to divorce him. There's no way you can remain married under these circumstances.
But that's why it's not fun to share with people because they eat things differently. Sometimes people slobber on their fork, you know?
Yeah.
But so if I'm sharing with my husband or kids, it's essential that I get the first taste or the first
That's
sip.
How it should be.
But they're saying, you know, no matter how delicious someone's food looks, let them taste it before you start begging. And do you beg? Do you say, boy, that looks good. Could I try some? I've never really said that.
In a restaurant setting, I'm under the belief of whatever you ordered is your property. If you want to offer some up,
I'll
accept your offer. But yeah, I've been...
The offeree should be able to offer it at their own...
You never say, though, hey, how are the crab legs?
But you say that conversationally, not as a means of, I would really like to have one.
Although there are people, like when I say, oh, how's your, like for lunch?
Right.
How was your lunch? Mm-hmm. It looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want any. Of course, I noticed you didn't
offer
any. I was not
going to
offer
any. That's mine. Get your own.
Do you share, Steve?
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You do? With anybody or just family?
Usually the wait staff.
No, the, well, the wait staff.
Because
can
they
come
work
by.
Really hard. And
yes, they do.
They don't get a lunch break.
Here's
you know, I'm more of a taker than a giver.
Oh, so if I offered, you'd say, sure, I'd try. I like to share. I like to see everybody happy.
Right.
And it would have to come from family, I think. No offense.
Are you offended by that one, you little bit?
That can't be offensive if you're eating.
No, you've offended. Steve,
oh, no.
You can't. Can you see what's going on now?
I can a little bit. I'm sorry, Wendy. I didn't mean it that way. It's not. This isn't like your dirty kitchen. It's just.
But you are overly generous. I've seen you so many times. You'll be halfway through something and go,
oh, this is great.
This is
taste
great.
It.
Try some. And then there's trouble.
Why is there? You know what it is?
That's yours.
I always have order envy.
Yeah.
I really make Jim order the same thing I do because I'm so scared I'm going to like his entree better
than
mine.
Yeah, I've seen that.
The entree regret is the worst feeling on earth.
Well, that's why you need, before making a decision as to what your order is going to be, you need to really think it out. Take a couple days.
I do now go online to get menus in advance if we're going somewhere nice so I can decide. But you can't do that. You gotta get what you're in the mood for.
Right. I'm with you on that.
All right, what is your solution to this, Rick?
Well, I kind of jumped in late, but when you were talking about sharing food, have you ever been to a restaurant with a group of people, like six or eight, you know, or couples? And it's usually a girl that says, make sure everybody orders something different so we can all try each other's entree.
What a bad idea.
Like, you get there my food, you're going to get a fork in the hand real fast.
Yep. That's a terrible idea.
It depends. Like, if you go to a tapas place and stuff.
That's the worst place.
Because you don't like to share.
Hey, wait a minute.
It is.
Wait a minute.
I love that kind of food, but we've gone in groups of like six or eight, and then everybody orders. And I can't do that. Because there's of the eight things that are then going to be ordered, I'm going to like three of them.
That's
and I'm only going to get a portion of those three.
I think Sharon and I invited you and Terry out to dinner once, and
you did. You have.
Do you remember where we went?
Yes,
tapas
to
place.
A tapas place.
He had the worst time of his life.
No.
And the kitchen was dirty.
But it was extremely well managed in terms of that.
That's because Steve was there. So, Rick, what about at a tapas bar when they're all little plates? Is basically what that is.
Because tapas are such small orders, get what you want anyway, and I still wouldn't share.
Agreed.
Because I'm going to get three or four things that I like. I might not necessarily like what other people are getting.
You're absolutely right, because you do go through the table, and it's like, what do you want? I want the bacon-wrapped dates.
Right.
And then people
say... Somebody's not going to want that.
Right.
Yeah, so they're out.
When I'm going to have one glass of wine, I want to try a sip of everybody else's glass? I don't think so.
Is it a guy-girl thing, maybe?
No.
I think so.
Do you think it is? I don't think it's a guy-girl thing.
It's always girls that say, let's get something so we can all share. I've never heard a guy say that.
You're right.
I haven't.
But my wife does split. Like many times if we go out, if it's just another couple and us, or sometimes if there's six of us, my wife will say, why don't we get this and this and this? And then if they look at me for that, I'm like, oh, no, I'm out of that. I want my own stuff.
Right, but see, your wife suggests.
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
All right, Rick, thank you. See, because I'm thinking, and God bless my young son, Dylan, he will say, hey, can we get cheese sticks? And I said, okay.
Right.
And then he goes, could I get my own order? Because he doesn't want to share.
He's smart. He's very
smart.
He
is, because if everybody takes a couple, he's only getting one.
Right, right. Steve, the place we went to, there was a tapas place in Northfield, right? I don't remember the name of it, but I thought it was very well managed. Steve and his wife had been there before, so they knew what to expect and what to order. But I've been in situations where it has not gone quite that well.
And I think about it a couple times a year. Actually, we try to do it monthly. My girlfriends and I will go out, and we do that.
You split a bunch of things?
But that's, I got to tell you, maybe it is a family thing, because that's when I say, no, I want the scallops, and I'm not sharing.
Right.
But then I announce it at the beginning. So don't plan on having any of mine.
If you call it at the beginning, those are the rules. You've established the rules. But then once the food comes, if the rules change, it's not good. That's just not good.
All right. Food sharing. Do you do it? Everybody wants in on this. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Do you share your food? Yes or no? And is it determined by sex? Are women more apt to share food than men?
Kevin, please tell the listeners and Bill why you chose this song.
It's the Knack's My Share, Rona.
Yep. That makes sense. not here on Earth, but in another universe, that makes sense.
We all deserve raises, can I tell you? All right. Do you share food? There's some etiquette to it. And, you know, here's another thing, too. If you give someone a bite, like if you're sharing a sandwich with someone, what constitutes a bite? It's a little tiny bite. It's not half the sandwich, and you can't take a middle bite. You have to go end.
This is why you don't share with people. Then you don't have to worry about stuff like that. No one bite. If anyone bites my sandwich, they're in for trouble. I'll hit him with the sandwich. I'll pop him in the head with it.
Hi there. Is this BJ?
It is. Hi there. How
are BJ.
You?
How are you?
You know, I used to love you guys.
What happened?
Well, up until this minute.
Why?
Evidently, BJ is a sharer.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, my gosh. How could you? Oh, by the way, before I even tell you about that, you put me on hold, not you, but, you know, your producer put me on hold just at the exact moment that David Hochberg, you know, the yeller screamer guy, he's so wonderful. I called him.
You did? What did he say?
Because of your advertisement.
Oh, good.
I called him up to see if he could help me with something I was thinking about doing. Do you know the man spent a half an hour on the phone with me?
Mm-hmm.
For business he could not do,
mm-hmm.
recommended me, referred me, in fact, to someone else, could not have been nicer, wanted nothing, getting nothing.
Well, CBJ, we did share. We shared David Hochberg with you.
The knowledge of David Hochberg.
But now you guys come up with this, and Wendy, how could you even think about going to a Chinese restaurant and not ordering extra spoons and not tasting everybody's food? I think that's against the law. In fact, I'm sure it's un-American.
It is fun to share, but, you know, then if my item is the best, I don't want to get rid of it.
Exactly.
That's really the bottom line.
If you go out for Chinese food with a bunch of other people, like six people.
And David Hochberg.
And you go, and David Hochberg, if we could get him to come with.
Oh, you can get him.
He'll refinance your Egg Foo Young. I've seen him do it.
Something, right. He may pick up the check. Who knows? Oh, darling. Anyway, to make a long story short, you cannot.
Too late.
Tell him that you would go to a Chinese restaurant with six people and not share everybody's stuff. That's not even American.
Right.
All right. In honor of you, BJ, I will go. It is fun with Chinese food, though. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Family only.
Can we? You're starting
can't
to make more
it.
Sense to me more
it.
And more every day. Can we put Deb and George on the line at the same time? Because I said maybe it's a girl thing.
Yeah.
George agrees with me. Deb does not. Deb, George, Deb, go.
This is hard. Yeah, I think it's definitely a chick thing.
You think it's a chick thing? Okay, don't
definitely.
Say. All right, Deb, your thoughts?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When I met my husband, he used to stick his fork in my plate, and I thought it was rude and obnoxious.
It is.
It is, and it went on for a very long time, and it didn't stop me from falling in love with him and marrying him. But now he's got this thing where he thinks that every restaurant we go to, we have to order family style so that everybody can, like, have a little bit of everybody else's food. It's like, no, I'm ordering what I want because it's what I want.
Heck no. George, what do you think about that?
It's a chick thing.
No, she just said her husband did it. All right, goodbye. It's a chick thing. That's it. Deb, thank you for
Deb,
calling.
Deb, your husband's a chick. Get used to it.
George has got a different opinion.
I guess.
It's a chick thing, Deb.
Wow.
Thank you so much. And John, you like to share? You're not a chick, or you don't like to share?
No, I don't like to share. You know what? My wife does this all the time. We go to a restaurant. I'll get, like, what I want, a big honking burger. She gets the chili and sea bass, right? And then she starts picking off my plate, and she goes, you want to share mine? I'm like, I don't want no part of that crap. I want, like, real food.
First of all, Chilean sea bass is really good, but when you have the hankering for a hamburger, nothing's going to take the place
right,
of that.
But she always gets goofy stuff and then wants to share mine. I'm like, just get what I'm getting or something good. Why do she always thinks she's going to buy, like, the diet plate or something great for her, and then she wants real food.
John, you need to make an agreement in advance, have her sign some papers, have them notarized, and that's the way it is.
She hit them somewhere. I can't find them.
Oh, all right.
You have to cut her off, or she's going to keep doing it, John. That's the only advice we could give you. Stay strong.
Thanks, Glenn.
And protect your plate.
That's all you can do.
Someone says, 773, don't stare at my food, don't drool, I have low blood sugar, and I will stab you.
See how violent people get? I get it. I totally get it. All right, we're going to take a break. Thanks, everybody, for calls and texting in. A quick break. Steve with the news, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, you know the saying, there's an app for that.
I've heard that a lot, yeah.
And there's an app for everything. We heard about this new app that is out there right now, and in the wake of the news, every time you turn it on, Bill Cosby getting in trouble, women are getting abused. We've been talking about this for a long time. There is a statute of limitations, and that was about to run out when Bill Cosby's accuser finally pressed charges. Wasn't it going to like run out the next month or something?
Pretty soon, yeah. It was real close.
And a lot of times people think that the statute of limitations in these abuse cases shouldn't be there because a lot of times women don't want to come forward.
Right.
They don't feel like they're going to be believed. They, you know, perhaps it's a celebrity. I mean, really, seriously, when I say that out loud, it's Bill Cosby, really, who thought it at the beginning. We have Michael Lissack on the line with us right now. And you have put together a new app that can help with this problem, haven't you?
We have.
Michael, why don't you tell us a little about the I've Been Violated app.
Well, the app is for victims, not just sexual assault victims, but perhaps even like domestic abuse victims. And the idea is that if someone has been victimized and for whatever reasons they're not ready to go tell their story to the appropriate authorities, the app allows them to record in their own voice, where you can see them on camera, et cetera, their story. It is stored and saved in a double encrypted fashion for 7 years offline and is available so that whenever they do decide to go to the authorities, there's a piece of contemporaneous evidence.
And now in case of any injuries or something, they could document it as they're talking into the camera and giving their testimony, so to speak?
Anything that they can show to the front side of the phone will be captured.
What prompted this, Michael? What happened?
Ah, nothing happened.
Nothing did.
This is part of a suite of apps called We Consent that we have been building for the past year to help college-age students deal with what's known as affirmative consent, or the idea that society is switching to a only yes means yes standard with regard to sexual behavior instead of the old no means no.
Yeah.
Now, this came out, this past summer, the We Consent app that basically gets proof of mutual consent.
Correct. And then we also have an app called What About No, so that if somebody is not getting the hint with a no message, or if you've already started something and the other person proves to be a creep, there's a way of delivering a very strong no to that person, and that too will be recorded and stored and available to the appropriate authorities.
Michael, let's go back to the one with mutual consent for just a little bit. It sounds to me like it's something of almost a video contract that both parties are in agreement. A couple of questions. Number one, has this ever been tested in a court of law?
No, it has never been tested in a court of law. And Bill, the point of the app is not to necessarily make the record. The point of the app is to evoke a discussion.
Okay, that was my next question, actually. Yeah.
We're going through a big societal change. So people my age were brought up with no means no.
Yeah.
But young people today are in a standard that is different. And to get them there, they not only need education, but they need props. And they need to learn to do something that, for whatever reason, young people don't seem to do, which is talk first and then act.
Yeah.
And somehow, with regard to this stuff, they sort of act and then maybe reluctantly talk. And that's what leads to a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It's not, I don't know that this would stand up in a court of law, because what if a girl was drunk when she said, oh, yeah, I'm game, you know? But it does seem like to discuss something beforehand. And maybe if you have to sit and discuss something beforehand and you say, oh, God, what's with this chick? Too much talk. Maybe she's not the one for you and vice versa.
Well, not only that, but at least you've got some idea of what you're getting into if you have the discussion. And people have said to me, what's your goal for that app? And I said, in the ideal world, every student would have it on their phone and it would never be used because it would just be causing the discussions that need to happen.
And that's a good idea.
Do you have college-age kids? Do you have children that made you want to protect these people?
No, I'm an odd duck. I'm a philosophy professor.
Mm-hmm.
And the institute that I run has spent 15 years looking at how big changes, social changes, organizational changes happen. And all of our research has shown that you can't do them directly. Nothing much happens. Think of those mission statements that are hanging on every corporate wall.
Mm-hmm.
That the way to get change to happen is to fiddle with the context for the behavior. And if you can tweak the context, you might be able to make the behavior change. So what is the context for every college kid? Their cell phone.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't let go of them. They have them with them 24/7.
Yeah.
So if we can put a set of easy-to-use apps on the phone that act as props and discussion triggers, then we're changing the context. And then when we get to the one for victims, the no app and the I've Been Violated app are things to empower people that are on the receiving end of things to have something that they directly can do.
All right. So the app is called I've Been Violated. You have several in your We Consent umbrella. And how many people have used this app at this point to record some kind of abuse? Even like if you're at work and you get verbal abuse from a boss
you
or something.
You can use it for that too.
You could use it for that as well?
You could. Now, but you see, because the videos are double encrypted and only available when requested by the appropriate authorities,
yeah.
I have no way of answering your question.
Huh.
I can tell you, since we released the app over the weekend, there's been about 400, 500 videos posted, but I have no idea what's in them.
Yeah.
And I never will. I mean, if I was to make a guess, it's people trying it.
Yeah.
So they're just recording an experimental video. But the only way anyone will know is when an appropriate authority makes the correct legal request. And then I'll still never know because we're going to deliver the video encrypted
right,
along with the encryption keys.
Now, will this change anything from there are some victims out there, men and women, that are making false accusations? What if they go and make these items, they record themselves on their app, the I've Been Violated app, and they do turn it over to authorities? You know, that's something that I'm questioning as well.
Well, I will point out to you that to make a false police report is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And since the only way to get this video to be seen is to go through the mechanisms of the police, a public health department, etc., to use it to make a false accusation would be intentionally committing a crime. And I'm not saying there aren't people that might not do that.
Right, but just...
That's a really serious consequence as opposed to just calling up a school and saying, you know, so-and-so did this to me falsely. That's not a crime. Reporting falsely to the school is not a crime. Reporting falsely to the police is a crime.
And how does this app work? There are a series of prompts that get you through the recording here?
Well, the first thing is the name. So it's I've Been Violated because some victim that's been traumatized, the name tells you exactly what's going on. And the other thing is you need to get yourself to a safe place. This is not a good idea to do while your victimizer is still in the room. But once you're at a safe place and you hit the app is going to ask you some questions. What is your name? What happened? Who did this to you? It's going to prompt you to show the camera anything you feel like showing the camera. And then it's going to store it. And when it stores it, it goes through, as I said, a double encryption process, which means the phone encrypts it when it sends it up to the cloud. And then our servers in the cloud encrypt it when 5 or 10 minutes later it goes offline and is stored off in the offline servers.
And so far, about, what, 400 videos have been recorded. Many of them are probably just test uploads, as you mentioned, but still, they're there waiting for the proper authorities, and that is the police, or what other agency could encrypt that or read the encrypted message?
Well, obviously, if law enforcement asks for it, you respond to law enforcement. If we get a court order, we respond to a court order. If it's a university that is in the middle of a Title IX investigation and we can verify that it was a legitimate request, the university can request it. If it's some kind of an issue where a public health authority needs it, the public health authority can request it. And then the military has their own versions of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anything,
I will point out.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the big differences in the military compared to the civilian world and why there's differences in reporting levels. In the civilian world, if you go to the hospital with something like this, the hospital is required to call the police. In the military world, if you go to the military hospital with something like this, it is still up to the victim as to whether or not the police are going to get involved.
Who knows if this app, the I've Been Violated app, is going to prevent any of these attacks, but it may, because if people think, oh, wow, maybe this person has that app on their phone and they can put a report together very quickly, hopefully that'll work in that way as well. People need to be responsible for how they act. That's bottom line.
Well, the other thing is credibility, because as you started when you mentioned the Bill Cosby stuff, 85% of the victims do not report in a timely manner, but 90% report eventually.
That's interesting.
So you've got this big time gap that occurs. And look, as much as people argue, well, you shouldn't be questioning the victim, et cetera, the police are supposed to do their job. And two obvious questions happen if you are time delayed. Why did you wait? And how do we test that the story hasn't changed? This app will not help you with answering the question of why did you wait, but it certainly helps with, here's a contemporaneous record of the story. Mm-hmm. In your own voice, you can be seen. It's time-stamped. It's geocoded. It's impossible to have been fiddled with. So the police will ask, but you have a ready answer now, and you don't have to go through another trauma of people doubting your story.
That's really interesting. Pretty good idea here. Michael Lisak, executive director of ISCE.edu. I couldn't spit that out. That stands for the Institute for the Study of Coherence and Emergence. And We Consent LLC, you have several apps, and where do we find them?
If you go to we-consent.org online or protect=respect.org, that works, and you have to spell equals because it's a URL.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, for kids that are younger, we have an anti-bullying app, and you can find that at the-no-app.com.
Michael,
No app.
I apologize for this. I may have missed it. Did you say there was or was not a price on these? Is there a cost on these?
Well, here's the way it works. For the I've Been Violated, it's completely free in the App Store.
Okay.
The app suite, if you download it as an individual, is $5 a year, and we are piloting the program with colleges to do it on an institution-wide basis, which would get it down to like $3 a year.
Good.
The anti-bullying app is $5 a year.
Okay. All right, so certainly not out of anybody's price range, especially when it's something that's important.
And again, we're a not-for-profit. We're not in this for any kind
right.
of money thing.
Right.
But, you know, it costs money to run servers.
Sure, of course.
The way
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, it does. Well, we heard about it and wanted to find out more about it, and it sounds like you're doing your job to help. We appreciate talking to you today, Michael. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me, and, you know, you guys are great, so keep it up.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good weekend. That's Michael Lisak. We're going to take a quick break, and then a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. They say that the keys to having a successful business, most notably a restaurant, are location. You got to have a great location.
Location, location, location.
They say it three times in a row.
What about good food?
They say the product is very important.
Over not location or
location
no?
Location is number one. You get the food can be awful, but if it's in a great location, people will still go there. The product, like I said, is important. And then the name of the restaurant is also important. You got to give it a name that people like. We have found a bunch of restaurants, not just here in the United States, but globally, that all have names that are kind of play on words of various things, mostly like movie titles and TV show titles. Tell me what you think of these. Would you go to these establishments based on the name? Again, the product doesn't matter. Wendy, if the food is good, that's fine. But it's location and it's the name. Here is...
I'm glad we are not in charge of restaurants.
No, we're not in charge of restaurants. Here's a place. They sell wine and spirits. It's a glorified liquor store, and it's in London, and it's called Planet of the Grapes.
Not a bad name
for a wine store, Planet of the Grapes.
I love it.
I like that one. Now, this one I've heard of, but not the one that they're showing a picture of. This is in Ocean City, Maryland, although I don't know if this was a chain. These are Mexican restaurants, and they're called Tequila Mockingbird.
Oh, I've heard it. There was one here.
There was one here, wasn't
there? In one of the malls, I thought.
I think there was. I'm almost sure there was Tequila Mockingbird.
I love that.
Now, I know there was one in Milwaukee. There was a restaurant in Milwaukee called Nacho Mama's, and they got in trouble because of the name. People found the name offensive. I don't think that's offensive. Do you? Nacho Mama's? I like that. Here's a Thai restaurant. This is in the Washington, D.C. area. And the name of the Thai restaurant is...
Oh, no, that wouldn't be a movie.
It's not a movie, but that's a great name. I would go to a place called Taiwanan. The name of this Thai restaurant is called Thai, T-H-A-I, Thai Tanic.
I wouldn't go to that one. It doesn't have a happy ending at all.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. This is one I'm going to guess. Now, you've not seen this, but I have. I'm going to guess that this will appeal to you. I don't know why, but it would. In Baltimore, it's a food truck, and they sell mostly pork-related products, pigs of all different kinds, ribs, pork tips and stuff. Jurassic Pork. Would you go to Jurassic Pork?
I love that.
Have you ever rented a movie with that title?
Yes, but not for air.
Here's one in England. This is a seafood place. They don't call them seafood restaurants in England, of course. They call them fish and chips. They like the fish and chips in England. It's called Frying Nemo.
Oh, that's sad.
That one has a tinge of sadness to it. I think if you would have little kids, they might not want to go to that one. That's for adults only. This one has the worst name of any of the ones I will tell you. I don't know why this is funny. I don't think it is at all. Again, it's a food truck. It's in the Santa Monica, California area. They specialize in Indian food, and it's just called India Jones.
That's kind of funny.
Like Indiana Jones, but...
It's a stretch.
Not quite there. Now, along those same lines, this is a do-it-yourself pet wash place in Simi Valley, California. Similar name.
How's their food?
Doesn't say. Let's see if I can... I'm digging a little deeper. No, they don't mention the food at all in this
location
one.
Location is great, though.
Oh, the location's spectacular. Simi Valley, California. A dog groomer with a self-pet wash, and it's called Indiana Bones. And the Temple of Groom.
That's funny.
That's a little bit better than just India Jones. They put a little more effort into that. I like that. Here we have a beauty salon in Weymouth, England, and it's called Facial Attraction. No? You wouldn't go to Facial Attraction?
Especially not if Glenn Close worked there, who looked like Sammy Hagar in that movie.
They will watch your rabbits in the back room while you're having, while you're having work done. I like this one. I think this is good. This is in Portland. It's a pizza place, and it's called Life of Pi. Like the book, like the movie. It's all right.
That's all right.
This is a dentist's office in Seattle, and it is called Fiddler on the Tooth.
Who would name a dental practice that?
I can explain because I didn't get this one either. If you go way down on the sign, you'll see that the dentist's name is Vicky Fiddler. So I guess Fiddler on the Tooth makes a little bit more sense, but you really have to understand that that's the name of the dentist before that makes any kind of sense at all.
If I had a molar.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
As you can throw it, you can write that song over and over.
But do you go to a dentist for a clever name? Don't you go to someone you've been referred to or someone in your plan?
Yeah, that would be, I guess that would be the priorities, I would imagine. What about this one? This is also in Seattle. This is an optometrist called Specs in the City. That's not bad. You don't like that? I think that's all right.
Yeah, it's clever, but...
But not enough? You need more?
There's a place around here, Four Eyes.
Yeah,
but F-O-R.
Right. I like that. That's
Four
not
eyes.
Bad. This one, where is this one? Is this also in Seattle? Why does Seattle have, why do they lead
They're
the league in these?
They're hip and trendy.
I guess they must be hip and trendy. Although it rains there a lot, Wendy. This is a barbecue place called Happy Grillmores. It's all right.
It's a little old.
It's a yeah.
So what we learned is that in Seattle they watch bad TV and movies.
We've got a Pork and Mindy's here that Jeff Morrow just opened.
Yes, we do.
Sandwich King.
Yep.
That's over on Milwaukee.
What do you think of this one? This is in Melbourne, Australia. It's a restaurant that specializes in fried foods. So one of those hoity-toity restaurants.
No, but that has my name written all over it.
Hoity-toity?
No, fried foods.
Oh, right. They should just call themselves fried foods.
Fry yourself up a mushroom, a zucchini, a cheese stick.
That's what they do. You pick the food. They fry it up for you. It's called Lord of the Fries.
I like
that. That's not bad. That's not bad. I would sit with Piggy and Sam and Eric if I went there. This is clever. This is in Berlin in Germany. It's a moving van service, and it's called Jean-Claude, comma, Van Man.
Jean-Claude like, Van Man.
It's like Jean-Claude Van Damme, only...
I would use them because of that.
If the movers all look like him, then you go with it.
All right, David wants to add one to the mix. Is this real, David?
Yes, it is. My daughter and my granddaughter live in Las Vegas, and they go to a hair salon called Curl Up and Die.
Well, you know what movie that's from, right?
D-Y-E. What?
Do you know that was in the Blues Brothers. That was the name of the beauty salon in Blues Brothers.
There used to be one on Clark Street.
There was, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great name, though.
That explains it. Thank you, David.
I think the best one of these, there's a couple more I'll give you. I don't remember what city I was in, but when I was doing stand-up, there was a Chinese restaurant called Abe's Pagoda that I thought was very funny. Isn't that, that's pretty good, right?
Yes.
I like that one. This is a florist. Where are they? In Texas? Yeah. Austin, Texas. A florist called Austin Flowers.
That's cute.
You know which one I also just thought of? And I don't even know if people understand. I hope people would get this. When you're going in the Oak Brook area near Oak Brook, the mall over there, there's a jewelry store called Mary Richards. M-E-R-R-Y, Mary, meaning jovial, Mary Richards. And that's the name of Mary Tyler Moore's character in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But they're playing on a low margin to get people to get that, aren't they?
I wonder if they went that way.
Is
but
it just
yes.
a coincidence?
I think you're the only one that figured that out.
Maybe. I went there when I got a ring for Georgette from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. This is a Mediterranean restaurant in Brooklyn, New York called Pita Pan.
I like that.
That's not bad. That's all right. This one I just saw in Disneyland. There's a place in Disneyland near Main Street, a hot dog place called Award Wieners.
Much like our Wiener Circle we
Very
have here.
Similar. Very similar.
Can I just add a text message here, 847, Chicago native living in Maryland, eat at Titanic all the time, great food at reasonable prices.
All right, then. I know it conjures up the image of a boat sinking and people perishing, but if the Pad CU is good, who's to say no?
It's not quite related, but when I first started working at WGN up on Bradley Place, I take a cab up Clark Street. So this has been 30 years ago, but there was a new restaurant opening, and in the with the butcher paper across the window, coming soon, authentic Thai food, authentic T-I-E food.
Perfect.
Genius.
Perfect.
And by the way, at the Titanic restaurant, the good news is women and children get seated first. So I would like to go there.
That's great. What about this? A real estate agency in England called Sherlock Holmes.
What is that?
Sherlock Holmes.
But what is the company?
It's a real estate agency.
Oh. I like that.
That's not terrible. Another fish and chips place. This one's in London called The Codfather. That's all right.
Somebody says there was a hot dog place in Romeoville called Between the Buns. Someone else says I always wanted to open a window store called A Pain in the Glass. That's now good. People are just saying that's
good.
Stuff.
No, but those are good. I like those.
There is a Chinese restaurant in Glenview called Myrna Loy, L-O-I.
Oh, that's excellent. I didn't know that.
Old-time
I like that.
Actress.
Yeah. That's really funny. Wait, we've got more of these, but every line is ringing. Should we take a quick break and we can get to some of these? All right, if you have any of these are establishments, restaurants that have clever names, 312-981-7200. We'll get to your calls and texts, and we've got a couple more to read for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Wendy. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. If you're going to open up a business or a restaurant, you need a couple things going your way. If the product is good, if the food is good, that's important. Location is certainly important. You also want to name your restaurant or shop something catchy, something clever. We've got a bunch of unusually named restaurants and shops for you, and you have some. We're at 312-981-7200.
Harold, what do you have for us?
Well, a couple of things. You know the hair salons always do that. They always come up with clever names.
Sure.
So I thought that, I thought that if you have a bookstore, you can call it Conan the Librarian.
Conan the Librarian would be a good name for a bookstore.
Here's another thing. I have a rickshaw.
And, why? Why?
Well, because that's what I did for a living.
Yeah.
You're a rickshaw driver?
So, yeah.
Awesome. So, here in the city? I'm sorry I'm interviewing you. I'm intrigued by this.
That's cool. Huh. It's a tricycle bike. And so when they have the Halloween parade on Halsted, a couple of years, I gave it a name each time. And one year, I dressed as Leatherface, and I called it the Texas Rickshaw Massacre.
You're
and
fun.
And the next year, I called it the Bermuda Tricycle.
Oh, even better. Those are great.
All right, take care, guys.
Thank you. So what do you do in the off season?
Well, you go to Hawks games.
Seriously? No, if you go outside the United Center.
Really?
Yeah, there's rickshaws. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and look, December was, a mild year this year, so.
Yeah, there have only been a few really cold Arctic days.
When it gets really bad, then you just don't do anything. But you do Bears games, you do Hawks games, Bulls games, concerts. I think, Bruce Springsteen was here just a couple days ago.
In a rickshaw?
No, he had a Cadillac.
Oh.
Pink Cadillac.
He might be side job.
Thank you so much, Harold. What a cool job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know you do it year-round.
Oh, there's no downtime for rickshaws. It's 24 hours a day, 12 months a year.
All right. Kevin has, is this for real?
Well, there's an elevator service company called Schindler's, and I just wondered if they moved to London, would it be called Schindler's Lifts?
I did see the Schindler's truck, so you're absolutely right.
Our building
I know,
sometimes.
I was scared to walk in.
Schindler's Lifts.
The other one is if I ever opened a coffee shop, I was going to call it Bean There Bun That.
Oh, that's really funny, too.
You're a clever guy. A lot of these clever people
great.
Out there. Robin has one for us as well. 312-981-7200. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Wendy. Groomingdale's is a grooming shop.
Is that a real place? They already have that?
It's a real place. It's in Harrison in New York where I grew up.
That's very funny.
And one of my funniest, the most clever I thought was Walks Up, the Chinese restaurant.
Walks Up?
Walks Up!
Now, I'd go with Walk on the Wild Side, maybe, yeah. Or Walk This Way would work.
They did have a walk and roll. Saw that somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for sharing. It's fun to laugh, isn't it?
It's fun to laugh, Wendy.
There was a place in Evanston, someone says, Mustard's Last Stand.
I go there all the time.
It's still open?
Right? Yeah, it's the best. It's right by Welsh Rhine Arena.
Is
delicious.
That a funny name, too?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yep.
Mustard's Last Stand, Evanston.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Salmonella's? I thought that was just a joke.
That's a real I worked when I did stand up. I did comedy there a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, Salmonella's.
Oh, a flower shop in Macomb called The Enchanted Florist.
Isn't that pretty?
That's cute.
That's beautiful. Yep. There's one I'm saving, but I think a texter also has this. Can I do it, the chimney one? Or
should we take a couple more?
Yeah, let's take a few more phone calls first.
All right. Yes, I won't read the text because I know what it is. Hey,
I
Jim?
I love this one.
Yes, this is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I live in DeForest, Wisconsin, and I named my restaurant Trees because it was a restaurant in DeForest.
Trees in DeForest. How you doing business-wise?
Closed it. Location, location, location.
But there's
should
a branch.
Have cut some of the trees down.
But there's still a branch office open, isn't there, Jim? It's fun. It is fun to laugh, Wendy. Right.
Office, yes.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Thank you so much. We have another one from Brian. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, there's a hot dog place in Villa Park. I'm pretty sure it's Villa Park called Wiener Take All.
Yeah, you can't go wrong if you throw the word wiener into your restaurant title. You're going to win. That's a given. Wiener Take All is a good one. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it.
There's Wiener and Still Champion. We didn't mention that one either.
Where's that?
Where is that, Steve? Do you know where that is? It's in the city.
I don't know that
one. It's fairly close.
All right, now people are just lying to us, texting us. 708 says, I saw an auto repair shop named Hoodfellas.
That would be a great name. I hope that's true.
In Milwaukee, we have a Thai restaurant called Tynamite. See, you're lying.
That one I don't think is real.
There used to be, I know this one in Milwaukee, the big sort of opera house or whatever, they had the Performing Arts Center there. That's what they called it. And there was a strip joint around the corner called Arts Performing Center.
There's a dog salon named the Barka Lounge.
Oh,
that's
hysterical.
Good too.
That's very good. That's beautiful. Here's one. This is also in Chicago. It's a dog B&B, a bed and breakfast for your dog, and it's called Citizen Canine. That's all right. How about this one? A delicatessen in West Hartford, Connecticut, called Locke's Stock and Bagels. You don't like that one either?
Not really.
This is a men's hair salon in England called Harry Poppins. That's too easy. This is a woman's beauty shop in Miami called Hannah and Her Scissors.
Oh, that's cute.
That's not bad.
Joellen wants to jump in with one. Hey, Joellen.
Hi. In Grays Lake, Illinois, there's a wine store that's called Winos. W-I-N-E-K-N-O-W-S.
Winos.
How about this one? Quit your whining. Would you go?
Oh,
I'd go to a place called that.
That would be good.
Thank you so much. There is actually a place, I believe it is on Harlem. Where is it? Harlem, when you in between the Eisenhower and 22nd, and it's called He's Not Here.
Oh, yeah.
So if you call in, you know, they answer the phone. He's not here. I love
very
that smart. One.
Well, that's like The Office. Where are you going to be? I'm going to be at The Office.
Yeah.
I've saved my best for last. This is also a local establishment, a chimney sweep company called Ash Wipes.
I've seen their truck.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
Ash
nice
Wipes.
Truck.
And I didn't do this one. This is in New Jersey. It's a men's hairstyling place, and the name of it is nothing special. But out in front, there's a big picture of Christopher Walken looking very, very intense. Your most intense looking Christopher Walken, and it says Walken's Welcome.
I like that too.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
I like that.
Do you say you walk to the store?
I wouldn't say that, no.
Is it walkin' or walkin'?
I was expressing the LK sound a little bit more for the purposes.
I'm just curious because I thought I was saying
Christopher
it wrong.
Walken, but walkin' is if you're walking.
Somebody wanted me to ask Steve Bertrand about some establishment in Beecher.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that question.
A place where you could get a roast beef or something.
Yes.
Some
butcher
cuts.
Kind of
yeah,
thing.
A butcher place.
Is that really a place?
There's a tool and die place there, too, I think.
Real close by to that. Yep. Hmm. All right. We'll take a quick break.
I think, Steve.
And Steve with the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. Hey, Steve. We wanted to talk a little bit about one of your stories in the news. By now, most people are aware that there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the Academy Awards. The nominations came out about a week ago, and for the second year in a row, no black actors or actresses or directors or films were nominated. A lot of people up in arms, they're calling for, a lot of people are boycotting the Academy Awards, a lot of black actors. Spike Lee has said he's not going to go. The list goes on and on. But then a few days ago on Wednesday, the Academy addressed this by saying they were going to fix this. They were going to figure out a way to fix this. And it was just announced in Steve's news that they've come up with a way. See, what exactly did they say they were going to change
Well, a
now?
Few things. They're going to change. They're going to add members to their board of governors, three new seats, clearly to diversify that.
Right.
They're pledging to double the number of female and minority members of the Academy by 2020. And here's another thing I didn't put in the headlines, but it's one other addition. they're going to limit members' voting status to 10 years.
All right. So now I'm not sure exactly how that would work. Do you? I don't understand.
I don't have the details of it, but that's one of the criticisms always of the Oscars, right, is that you have a lot of very old participants who are voting, and, you know, they deserve to earn, they earn their vote, certainly, but the sort of measure, the method of measure has changed since they were on the screen themselves.
So they might take...
So the voting skewed old.
I'm just using an example. I don't know if Gene Hackman is still a voting member of the Academy, but they might take a guy who hasn't been in movies for a while and say, it's been 10 years, we're going to take your vote away and give it to a younger person. Is that what they're saying, essentially, I guess?
And there seems to be, I don't know what the methodology will be. I'll look for it, see if I can find it, Bill, but I hope they never take Gene Hackman's away.
I don't want to see that either. I don't want to see Popeye Doyle lose his right to vote for the Academy Awards.
No, would not be right.
All right. In all honesty, as I hear this, and they said on Wednesday, we're working on this. We're going to have this fixed. And then I heard what the fixes are. I have to be honest with you. I don't know that any of those measures translates into more black actors or actresses or directors being nominated. Do you? It doesn't seem like there's a direct correlation.
Well, if they're going to double the number of minority and women participants,
then you think it would matter that way?
Well, that's probably going to change things. Right. I mean, we were talking about this on The Mincing Rascals, which you should subscribe to at WGNradio.com.
Go on, yeah.
With John Williams and Eric Zorn today about, you know, if there was a singular actor today who clearly deserved a nomination and didn't get it, you know, then then you start looking at racism there.
Right.
And, but there isn't one of those, right? I mean, Will Smith, people said, was a maybe.
The two actors whose names have come up over and over this year are Will Smith and Idris Elba, and they're both fine actors. I didn't see Beasts of a Nation. I did see Concussion. He was really, really good in it. But then the argument that I've made several times is the five actors that were nominated for Best Actor all did a great job. I can't imagine a scenario where somebody looked at the ballot and said to themselves, I would rather go with the white actor over the black actor.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense that somebody would do that.
So, but what is also true is there probably were fewer choices than there might have been had there been sort of an institutional change.
Well, the mere fact that anytime anyone brings this up, it's a very, very small pool of names that keep coming up. Why didn't Idris Elba get a nomination? Why didn't Will Smith? And once you go after those two, it really falls off the cliff. And I mean, the real reason is, if you look at the movies that are made today, it's sad but true, the parts just aren't there. So that's what needs to be addressed way more than the nomination process.
Right, right. That's what I mean. There needs to be an institutional change.
I want to know why it's going to take that long.
Till 2020, they said.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
why can't it be changed
years.
For next year?
Well, what do you want to double the number in a year? I think they're probably going to take some of these voting rights away and then bring in new people.
And I imagine there will be some people that are very displeased with the fact, let's say you've been in the Academy, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, and all of a sudden you just lose your right to vote. I could see where they would add more voting members, but I'm not sure taking away people's vote after X amount of years is going to help the situation?
Well, it will get away from that older skew. Now, let me read the statement from them, okay?
Yeah.
Beginning later this year, each new member's voting status will last 10 years and will be renewed if that new member has been active in motion pictures during that decade. In addition, members will receive lifetime voting rights after 3 10-year terms, mm-hmm. or if they have won or been nominated for an Academy Award. We will apply these same standards retroactively to current members. In other words, if a current member has not been active in the last 10 years, they can still qualify by meeting the other criteria. Those who do not qualify for active status will be moved to emeritus status. Emeritus members do not pay dues, but enjoy all the privileges of membership, except voting.
That seems kind of fair, though.
Yeah, I think it does, too.
But then are you assuming by doing this, and this is I think this is the wrongest thing to assume in the world, are you assuming that white actors or white members vote for white actors and black members or black actors only vote for black actors? Because I don't think that happens.
No, but I think, right, but maybe this addresses a different, you know, there's always been the rap that the voters in the Academy Awards are a very old voting population.
They are.
This will skew this a little bit younger.
As we've all mentioned numerous times, we all see a movie and take meaning from it in different ways.
Right.
So if right. you're diversifying that age-wise, and it's not just old white guys sitting around, because
yeah.
I'll see a movie and take a different meaning from it than you do or Steve does.
Absolutely. You know what, Wendy, I'm just going to correct you a little bit. Just as
of course you are.
No, but it occurs to me, too. It's really not age-wise. It's active-wise. So you can be 78 and be in your first movie and then have 10 years of
right.
voting. But if you and you can be 38 and having been in a movie not since you were 8 years old
right.
and lose your ability to vote. So it's more the people who are active in the industry voting, not just their age.
I have to be honest, even with all this that you've just explained, Steve, I don't see this making a huge difference. I really don't. It doesn't look to me. I know they're trying to make some change, and it's one of those things where if you're the Academy right now and everybody's pointing at you, you got to go, well, we're doing something. Look,
you know,
here's
that,
what we're doing.
You know that insurance commercial, the discount double check where
yeah.
the refs are, they all miss the call?
Yeah.
And their mic's accidentally on. They're like, okay, we didn't see it. What do we do? Okay, you fake
oh,
it this
that's
way.
Great.
You fake it this way.
Yeah.
You know, and sure, I mean, they're doing something. I don't think what they're doing is damaging in any way. I think
it's
right?
not damaging, but I don't think the changes that you just mentioned are going to equal anything anytime soon. Where next year you see any kind of a change, next year is really going to be the telltale year, because I wonder how this is going to affect anybody voting next year, if they're going to go, wow, it's really been a rough couple of years for minorities. Yeah. I'm on the fence on who I should vote for.
Next year,
you know, then the black actor who wins next year, are they going to think, was this a pity vote or did I deserve it?
Don't you wonder if
yeah.
that's...
This could be Nipsey Russell's year.
Oh, he's deserved an Academy Award.
I would like to see Nipsey Russell get an Academy Award.
Should have won it years ago.
Scoey Mitchell's never won an Academy Award.
I think he should
get an Academy Award. It's, you know, it's weird because something had to be done, but I don't know if this is what it was.
But it shows that they are concerned
right.
and they're doing something. They're trying to take action.
Right. It does. So let's see what happens. We only have to wait 4 more years to see if their changes are good ones or not. So don't do anything for 4 years and we'll report back to you and we'll let you know what happened.
I got 4 years to wait.
Yeah, just be patient. It's only 4 years. It's not that long. All right, we're going to sit back. We're going to relax. We're going to listen to some commercials. And then when we come back, we'll close off the show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, live from the Allstate Showcase studio. The sun's out. The snow has stopped. I think we're okay.
I think everything's going to be fine here. Problems for the people on the East Coast. We'll be thinking about them.
3 feet of snow, Bill.
That's what they're saying. That's an insane amount of snow.
Is it rude to say better?
Better than us?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't say better okay. than us. You don't want to say that. Earlier in the show, we offered very heartfelt congratulations to Adele, who has, as you know, Wendy, the voice of an angel. Adele does. She sang a song, Hello. She put it on YouTube. And 87 days later, it registered its 1 billionth viewing. That's viewing with a V. A billion people have now seen her video, Hello. And we played a little bit of it for you. It's a beautiful song. She has a magnificent voice. And I predicted at the time that the duet that she sings, she's got a new version of Hello. It's a duet with Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. I think that's going to top a billion hits. And we played it, and people loved it. People are downloading it left and right. Can we just play a little bit of Hello with Adele and Squiggy working together? Listen
Absolutely.
To this. This is beautiful.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Listen to her voice.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet.
It's
magical.
It's magical and it's haunting.
Everything.
And then you add Squiggy's voice, it's even better.
They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear
That's just, that's beautiful. Those two voices together.
Match made in heaven.
I don't know who mixed it. I don't know who put it together, but it's stunning.
I didn't know he had a musical career.
Oh, Squiggy?
Did he have others? Didn't he do another song?
Well, there were other songs he did. I don't know if they're available. If you can find some of them, let's play some of the other songs that Squiggy jumped in on, because he's always entertaining. He's one of our best. What else do we have him doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Lionel Richie and Squiggy.
Lionel Richie and Squiggy. This did not get a billion hits. This got 9 hits.
You would have thought it would have at least hit double digits. It did not. What else did? Who else did Squiggy work with, Kevin? Do we know?
I think Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren?
Hello.
Hello. You got to wait till it's me, Squiggy. Hello again.
Well, they did not get along. You heard the stories about
he jumps the gun a bit. He's...
They fought in the when they were making that. They fought like crazy because Todd Rundgren would say, "Squiggy, be patient with the hello," and then Squiggy just he'd poke his head into the studio.
All right, hang on. Let me get rid of the Todd Rundgren.
That was Todd Rundgren.
Okay,
he worked with Squiggy.
I believe he worked with Rick Ocasek in the Cars.
Oh.
We have more. That might be my favorite.
He seemed jittery that day to me, Squiggy. I don't understand. But yeah, they toured together, the Cars and Squiggy. They had a big hit with
their
version.
I cannot believe that Squiggy, by far my favorite, that last one.
You enjoyed that one the most? Well, they're all good.
Well, he worked with the Lizard King, if you can believe this.
Jim Morrison.
More.
That's so beautiful.
That was pretty beautiful.
That would be a big hit today, I think.
All right. I think we have two more, if you can believe, from the Lizard King to the Fab Four.
Oh, really? Well, they called Squiggy. You know this one. They call him the Fifth Beatle, and I think when you hear that, you realize why.
I don't realize why.
You know.
And I think we have one more.
Is there another one?
One more, and then
these were all huge hits. People remember them, I'm sure.
Oh, this is a classic.
Yeah.
He's got to say hello. Is anyone home?
You would think he would do one more, but he didn't need to.
Hello.
There it is. And it was in there somewhere. Boy, that's just good music. I mean, good music never goes out of style. Squiggy knew that better than anybody.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Did he corroborate with other people?
I'll tell you what. Now, this is a rare cut, and we're not even supposed to play this on the radio. This is what they call a bootleg. If you're in the music business, you know what I'm talking about. This is an illegal recording. No one's supposed to have this. Wendy and I have it. We'll play it for you. Adele did this song with Squiggy, the Hello, and then they did like a We Are the World version of Hello, where other artists came into the studio and also added their talents. Do you want to hear that?
Absolutely.
All right, let's play. Kevin, don't play too much of it. I don't want to get in trouble. But this is Adele and Squiggy and just some of the greats of show business all working together for their version of Hello. Let's play this. Listen to this.
We're going to have to hang on a second.
Oh.
All right, now we are ready.
Now we can play
it. You got to be careful with the bootlegs.
I know.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Hello.
I was wondering. Hello. After all these years at last. Everything.
Hello, American.
They say the time's supposed to heal.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello, world.
I'm in California dreaming
No, what, this is the bootleg that's going to break the billion-dollar mark in 1 hour.
You're going to see. An hour from now, it's going to close down the internet. So that's the only time Big Bopper and Paul Harvey ever worked together, by the way, Wendy. I don't know if you knew that. So, boy, what a trip down memory lane that was to hear those great songs. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ro and Anna. We'll find out what they have next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.